Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm going to give you a lot of information tonight. We try to coordinate with Master's Club, so pretty much you can figure on about 8 o'clock, us wrapping it up and going to prayer time. And so, boy, what a deal. You get to come at 7, leave at 8. I tell you what, that's fantastic. I mean, Hollywood won't even let you do that. Get it all done in an hour, so. Well, I'm going to park there tonight, actually. I'm going to cover one of the 40 biggest issues of the last 40 years, and I'm going to address and really sound a warning. And listen, folks, I really ask you to drop your defenses. I'm not going after anybody personally on anything. But I want to talk to you about in the last 40 years what has happened in the entertainment industry. And I'm going to kind of put everything under an umbrella instead of taking, a week and hitting the music, and a week and hitting TV, and a week and hitting the movies, and a week hitting these other things we're going to mention tonight. I'm just going to try to put it under umbrella. I don't think there's anybody my age or older that can take a look back over the last 40 years and not realize that we have absolutely gone corrupt in the area of what is available and out there as far as what Americans now call entertainment. And what's being piped into our homes and what's being made available is made available now with ease in a way that 40 years ago people honestly couldn't even imagine. You young people, I know it's really, really hard to imagine a world where you don't have some of the technology, but I mean, there is nobody 40 years ago that would have imagined that we would have access and that the devil would have the tools available to bring to the average home the things that are being watched and viewed and participated with in the average home. And boy, the devil's made great strides. I'm going to show you where he's been granted power. And you know what? He has no power that God didn't allow him to have. But in Ephesians chapter 2, if you're there, let's all stand and we'll read the first 7 verses. And I want you to pay close attention to what God says about the devil in verse number 2, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, I want you to, we're going to talk about the prince of the power of the air, but I want you also to notice the context, because folks, listen to me, there ought to have been in a Christian life a used-to-be life and a now life. And there ought to be used-to-be activities and now activities. There used to be entertainment and godly entertainment. There should be a difference. Boy, this is elementary, but it's got to be said. There ought to be a difference in how a Christian family would seek to entertain themselves and a lost family would seek to entertain. What a Christian family would view as entertainment. And I'm not against you having a family night. I'm not against you doing things that are fun. I'm not against you even watching some things that are wholesome. But I'm going to sound the trumpet tonight, because folks, we have fallen asleep and we've been desensitized and we're accepting things and participating in things that we have, that there's no way if we got on our knees before a holy God and said, "God, do you want me to participate in this?" that we would hear from heaven and from this book, "Yes, it's fine. Go ahead, green light, do this." Now, all I'm going to do tonight, honestly, is I'm giving you information. Everybody in this room and every man in this room has to decide what you're going to allow in your home and what you're not going to allow in your home. And I'm not going to answer for that. You're going to answer for that. But I want to give you Bible. I want to give you information. I'm going to ask all of us. And by the way, the pulpit and the pew, same here. I want to look at my home and you ought to look at your home. What have we slowly allowed ourselves to be watching and viewing and participating in, that the honest truth is we've kind of just allowed ourselves to drift too far, and ask the Holy Spirit of God, make adjustments. And so let's read this. "Now, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world." That would be when you were dead in trespasses and sins. That would be before you were quickened or saved. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Sounds like a BC, before Christ situation. Then it sounds like that after salvation, we are to have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Well, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to chase rabbits tonight. And I want to stay focused. I want to say what you want me to, and I want you to chase what you want me to chase. But Lord, I want to give our people good, solid Bible and good material and Lord, good help. And then, Lord, I would ask that we would all join together in this part of the prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And, Lord, just help us to be open to the Holy Spirit of God and his teaching and his direction in our lives. Lord, I pray that, God, that this message would bring couples together, not tear them apart. That's not what it's for. I pray that wives would handle it very wisely. I pray that husbands would handle it very wisely. And together, with a good conscience before you, they would make some adjustments if they need to in the area of worldly entertainment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Prince of the power of the air. What a title to be given to the devil. The prince here works, by the way, you're going to be shocked. The word prince here, as we find it in the original Greek, we find the word being defined as, watch this, a first in rank or power. Watch this, chief ruler, chief magistrate, prince or ruler. Wow. Then prince of the power, the word power here is talking about privilege. Now watch this, force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, concrete magistrate. Watch this, concrete magistrate, superhuman potentate, token of control, delegated influence or authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength. And then the air there is talking about inanimate breeze or the invisible breeze. And so God says that the person who is the chief ruler and magistrate with almost unlimited and definite concrete power, superhuman power, that which has been delegated under his authority is the heir, and that is talking about the devil. Now, folks, you get to really letting that thing sink in, and one of the things that, for whatever reason, God has allowed Satan to become the chief magistrate of on earth is what goes through the airwaves. And the devil has taken that authority and maximized it for evil. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this. I want to show you the progression of entertainment. And I'm going to read some lists that some of you will have no idea what I'm reading. And others of you that have lived life some are going to, you know, remember some things. But I want to compare where we were to where we've been and help you out a little bit here. Let me explain what the devil's done, okay? The progression of entertainment. Oh, preacher, all of these different... all of these different inventions and all of the advances in technology, and isn't it great and isn't it wonderful? Well, for the most part, no, not really. There was a time when people didn't have radio. I mean, you know, some of you in here, a few of you can remember that. There's a time when we didn't have radio. And all of a sudden, this wonderful thing was invented called the radio. And for some reason, you can set a box in your... You know, have you watched the Waltons? Okay, they set the box in the living room, and on a certain night, they would tune it in, and if they worked real hard at it and everything was set right, they could hear an amazing thing. Voices would all of a sudden begin to come out of this box that was being picked up from the air, and oh my goodness sakes, what a marvel. And some of you can remember back when you didn't have a TV in your home. The only thing that you had was a radio. And some of you maybe remember the first time that you got a radio in a home and some of the things that were put on that radio, for the most part, very innocent. And in the beginnings, this is what the devil always does. In the beginnings, it seems like, man, isn't this a good thing? Isn't this a wonderful thing? And then all of a sudden, when we get hooked on and reliant upon a certain type of technology or invention, then all of a sudden the devil begins to start shifting it to his usage. Music is powerful, folks, but when they're standing in front of the radio, now I want you to kind of think about this, because I want you to think about the strength of the influence. Okay, at first it's very limited. It's probably in most homes very well controlled. It literally is one or two nights a week we sit and listen to this program as a family, and it's family oriented. And so it starts out very controlled, and the only thing it does is speak to us. The only sense that we're using is our ears, and of course, then our mind, our imagination. And so technology starts out just basically bringing something to our ears, whether it's music or whether it's a program or whether it's voices. All that was being affected was people were sitting in a room staring at a box that did nothing except have sound come out of it. And in a very limited way, we were being influenced by just what we hear. All right, now stay with me on this. Then all of a sudden, Hollywood began to produce movies. Now, this is not anything that you could have seen in your house. You had to go to a movie theater. They started out with, watch this, what kind of movies? Silent movies. So now you go to a place and you can see something. Now wait, when you were looking at the radio, you could hear something and not see it happening. Now you can see something and not hear it happening. And you had to read the little captions. And so now all of a sudden, though, we're being programmed again because, oh my goodness sakes, you go in there and I mean, it's like hypnotic. I mean, you can see pictures on the wall and people are doing things. And I mean, folks, literally people were hypnotized. I mean, it just got their attention. And again, in the early days, you know, humorous, very innocent, you know, people running around, falling over each other, chasing bad guys, jumping on trains blowing up, you know, and everybody, oh my goodness, wow, this is incredible. And again, the hook's being set, an appetite's being developed, and now we're being influenced just through the eyes with some music in the background and by reading, and that's what the devil has to work with. Then they had something come out called talkies. Okay, those were movies that, oh my goodness, you're not going to believe it now. You can go and you can sit in the movie theater, and not only can you see the people, but when they talk, you can hear their voices. You can hear what they say. And again, now all of a sudden, you're being affected through your ears and your eyes. Okay, and so now you're seeing something, but you're also hearing it. It's not like the radio. It's not like the silent movies. All of a sudden, now you've got two of your senses bringing information into your brain. And boy, it's allowing your imagination to run even wilder. And the experience of it is more exciting to the senses. And I mean, wow, look at that. Another advancement. The devil began to use the radio at first, I think, innocently. And then next thing you know, more sensual, more fleshly music is used as a vehicle to deliver more and more, as the years go by, more ungodly, unbiblical, yet catchy little messages and catchy little phrases and catchy little songs. And so he's using the music and he's as a vehicle to deliver an unbiblical philosophy, and yet the songs are so catchy and snappy, and you'd remember all the words. I mean, you might not remember what you memorized last Sunday, but you're going to remember the jingles and you're going to remember the songs, and it's going to begin to work on, watch this, it's going to begin to rework the thinking of an entire culture. It's going to be a slow process of brainwashing. The movies then, Hollywood movies, start out, like I said, just affecting the eyes. Then all of a sudden now you have something that the first time both your eyes and your ears are being captivated by. The worldly music then marries the hypnotic images that portray beautiful people, actors, actresses, celebrating and selling, at first just slightly, but then more aggressively, a less than holy life, selling a more sinful worldly lifestyle. Watch this, a script writer. Think about this. A lot of times we think of actors, but we don't really see the person behind the scenes. A script writer becomes a god with a small g. He creates people and plots that are imaginary and many times exaggerated. They control the actions and reactions of everyone involved in the story. all actors and actresses dutifully reading their lines and acting out their parts. These script writers with their pens and assigned parts begin to control not just the actions, but the consequences of the actions that's happening out before you. Many script writers engage the actors and actresses in lifestyles and decisions that God says will bring judgment, but instead write for them a happily ever after ending. So now they can have people that do things that God said if you do them, judgment's going to come, only because they are in control of the filming process, they can have them do them and have just the opposite happen, have them to be rewarded and blessed. And people begin to walk out again, having their senses dulled, having their moral compass altered a little bit. All of a sudden, well, I always heard that if you did that, this would happen. But man alive, they did that. Watch this. Sometimes already beginning to fail to separate fantasy from reality, fiction from nonfiction. Because all of a sudden these people come out and they haven't just watch this. They haven't just watched this show. They've lived this show. They've engaged with these people. They've built a relationship over 2 hours with somebody. They begin to root for people. They begin to want something to happen. And so something very core in us is being activated here. 2 hours, I mean, in 2 hours, folks, Just give them 2 hours, and a bucket of popcorn, a dark room, hypnotic flashes, flashing images. People walk out with a new view of right, of wrong, and of the consequences of both. And then we progress to the TV. Now, wait a minute. Now you don't have to go to the movies. I mean, you can stay at home, and now there's a box that you can sit in front of and you can turn on. And if you get the antenna ears just pointed in just the right direction, you might be able to get a station or two. And if you can't get them pointed right, the littlest kid have to stand there and hold one of the antennas so that they can get the picture to come in properly. And all of a sudden, we don't have to go outside. All of these things are being brought right into our homes. Now, please stay with me, folks. Home entertainment. All of a sudden, the idea of home entertainment. Our ears and our eyes are being, again, engaged through the television set. Now watch this. Now it's not just 2 hour shows and a relationship built in 2 hours. It becomes weekly shows. It becomes regular visitors into our home. It becomes sitcoms that cause us to build imaginary relationships with individuals and families. And I mean, some of which become almost, in a sense, our best friends and our heroes. And we think we know them, like the young man who walked up to Jesse. Who's the weatherman? Jesse Walker. Walked up to him one day and said, "Hi, Jesse, don't you know me?" And he said, "I don't think so. We met." "Well, yeah, I watch you every single night." And so they almost begin to build this, you know, fantasy and reality again is being blurred. And all of a sudden, these people are coming as regulars into your home, and you build relationships and likes and dislikes, and they become a family that becomes a friend of your family. Okay? And so the weekly shows and sitcoms that cause us to begin to build imaginary relationships with individuals and families, watch this, who slowly and more times than not humorously redefine for us what is normal, what is acceptable, what is cool, what is popular. Okay? And so all of a sudden we have several decades of TV. By the way, television has had a huge influence in the morals of a nation. In the 1950s, I've written down here and did some research in the top 10 television shows, and some of you, I don't know some of these, and some of you a little older than me will know some of these. Does anybody ever remember watching the Texaco Star Theater? That's a new one for me. Okay, all right. That was before my time. I was just a twinkle in my mama's eye in the 1950s. All right. I Love Lucy, The Red Skeleton Show, Amos and Andy, Dragnet, and The Ed Sullivan Show, The $64,000 question in the 1950s, Gunsmoke, and The Price is Right, believe it or not, started in the mid-1950s. And the Jack Benny, I can assure you, though, the same chicks weren't on there that are on there now. I can just tell you that right now, okay? The Jack Benny program, okay? Now, I want you to remember that list, because in the 1950s, the top 10 shows was the Texaco Star Theater, I Love Lucy, Red Skelton Show, Amos and Andy, Dragnet, The Ed Sullivan Show, $64,000 question, Gunsmoke, Price is Right, the Jack Benny program. We fast forward to 2012-2013, Nelson ratings, the top shows, Big Bang Theory. I don't know what that is. I've seen it advertised. I can guarantee you it's filth. If you watch it, shame on you, all right? The Voice, Modern Family. I mean, this is wicked as American Idol. The Following, I don't know what that is. 2 and a Half Men, again, by what I've read, one of the filthiest shows. And yes, yet it's number 6 right now. Grey's Anatomy, I don't know what that is. NCIS, I've watched that. Two Broke Girls, again, I've seen enough advertisement that if you watch that, there's an altar up here you need to get to. How I Met Your Mother, debauchery, wickedness. Come on, you can't defend it. Would you invite me over and let and have the preacher sit with you and watch that? Okay. Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two. Remember that old poem? I mean, folks, we need to be confronted with this. Anything animated. Okay. Family Guy. Anything like that. I mean, come on now. Please tell me nobody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church watches that filth. Simpsons, all that other stuff, King of the Hill, help us. Survivor, X Factor, Criminal Minds, The Bachelor, Glee, The Simpsons, Revenge, and Scandal. Again, I don't know what some of these are. But you think of that list I just read compared to the Texaco Star Theater, I Love Lucy, The Red Skelton Show, Amos and Andy, Dragnet, The Ed Sullivan Show, The $64,000 Question, Gunsmoke, The Price is Right, The Jack Benny Program, and you can see that, folks, we have gone a long way, and it's a long way in the wrong direction. Say, preacher, how do we get there? Well, I'll show you how we got there. I'm going to do this fast, okay? We got there by, in the 1960s, deciding that we would upgrade a little bit when we were really downgrading. We went to Bonanza, Gunsmoke, some of these are fine, Andy Griffith Show, Dick Van Dyke Show, Beverly Hillbillies, Candid Camera, Lucy Show. I think Lucy's still maybe in the top 10. She don't ever go away. Gomer Pyle, Bewitched, Days, by the way, all of a sudden in the 1960s, the big daytime soap opera, Days of Our Life and General Hospital was in the top 10 list. And all of a sudden, we have young mothers that are sitting at home and watching filth in the afternoon. And getting involved in the soaps. In the 1970s, notice how this changes. You say, well, 60s, most of them, okay, let's keep going. Hawaii Five-O in the 1970s, All in the Family. You say, how did we go that quickly downhill from the 60s and 70s? Did you watch the culture? Did you see what happened in the 60s? Did you see the rebellion? Did you realize the sexual revolutions happened? And Anything Goes, Women's Libs in full-fledged, are you listening to me? Well, you talk about 1960s, beginning in 1960s to the end of the 1970s, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It was like flushing a toilet and watching a nation go down. I mean, it was that. All in the Family, MASH, Adam 12, Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Young and Restless. Watch this as we get to the end of the 70s. Maude, Charlie's Angels, Happy Days, and The Waltons. Now, I will tell you this. You say, well, preacher, The Waltons, all right. In the beginning, come on now, you watch the first 5 years of it, pretty good, wholesome stuff. Watch the last 5 years of it. All of a sudden, notice the change in the young ladies and the change in the role reversal and the change in the philosophies and the change in the subtle things that were being taught. And you know what? We got hooked on a show. Here's what happens with a lot of the popular shows. The first season, you'll watch it, and you know what? It'll be, man, you know what? This is great. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, a few little things, but you know what? Not enough to not. And then, you know what? About 3 seasons in, you're sitting there watching things that absolutely are ridiculous. Because you build a loyalty because you allowed them into your home. You build a relationship. By the way, that's a one-way relationship. They have no relationship with you. They don't care whether you live or die. They're just glad that you're tuning in so they can make money. And yet you build a loyalty. Now, how do you know that? Now, stay right here with me. Come on, stay right here with me. Because why would you get upset when I point out shows you're watching that are wrong, and down deep you know they're wrong? Why do you get upset at the preacher when I point it out? Because you've developed a loyalty to them. You've built a relationship, secret relationship in your heart. Some of you have it towards your music performers. Man, if I mention certain music performers, listen, you know what? You know what you say? You're saying, well, that's my, he's preaching against my music. Okay, it's not your music. You didn't perform it. You didn't record it. Why do you think it's yours? Why do you say that? Well, that's my music. Why do you say that's my music? It's not your music. It's somebody else's music. But see, they build a personal relationship. There's an ownership that is assumed where they want to own you and you want to own them. Your music, it's not your music. Where'd you get that? I can tell you where you got that. You got it from the devil. Okay, where all of a sudden you get defensive. You've allowed yourself to build a relationship to something, okay? Let the Holy Spirit, by the way, if you have a strong relationship to the Holy Spirit, that ought to be stronger than anything you have to anybody down here. Let him trump all of that for you, okay? And then we went in the 1980s, where, guess what the number one show was in the 1980s? Saturday Night Live. I've never watched Saturday Night Live. I've never watched one episode of Saturday Night Live. But I've read enough and seen enough to know, clips and know, that, again, you talk about taking a nation and just plunging them down to the pits of hell and getting us to laugh at and think that wickedness is funny, evil is funny. There you go. Roseanne, there's a role model for every lady. The Cosby Show, and again, oh, preacher, but you know what? Yeah, okay, watch the first two or three seasons. And then watch the subtle, and even in the first two or three seasons, watch, and if you have a spirit sensitivity, you start picking up on the philosophies that are being taught and the things that are being said as accepted, all right? Cheers. All I know about that show is I think they're all in a bar, you know. Magnum P.A. Now, this is the 80s. You got to understand, folks, I spent most of the 80s in a monastery, so I don't really know any of these shows, okay? I was at Dallas. I don't know what Dallas is. Who shot JR, right? The whole nation was on pins and needles to find out who shot JR. I thought they were talking about me. I was scared to death during that time. I had no idea, man. I'd seen it ever. L.A. Law, The Love Boat, Dukes of Hazzard, Hill Street Blues. And you know what? Watch this. We were watching Harriet and Ozzy, weren't we? Weren't we watching... Amos and Andy, weren't we watching I Love Lucy and Texaco Start? Now, wait a minute. Now, here we are as Christians. We're sitting on the couch and we're just taking a ride. We're being taken for a ride. 1990s, we have Friends and The Simpsons and Seinfeld and ER and Family Matters and X-Files and Full House and Frasier and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Amen. The 2000s, we got The Sopranos, The Office, Family Guy, West Wing, House, Arrested Development, How I Met Your Mother, Sex and the City, CSI, and American Idol. And then we get down to the 2012-2013 list. And folks, that's the journey we've taken. Now, let me ask you something. When are you going to get off the train? How bad does it have to get? I mean, when do we as Christians say, what in the world? I think the prince of the power of the air has taken full control of this thing. What do we do? And so we have the progression of entertainment. Again, you have to decide what lines you're going to draw within your family, but please be open to the Holy Spirit of God. Now watch this. And again, you young people don't remember this because you weren't there, but then videos come out and DVDs. Now watch this. The Hollywood movies that used to have to go and see in Hollywood, now all of a sudden you can bring right into your home. At first you had to go to a store and rent them and bring them to your home, but now you can sit right in your home, push a few buttons on your remote control, and pipe in anything that Hollywood produces right in the privacy of your own home. Hollywood movies now are invited into American homes where we can now view things. Watch this, here it is. I'm going to put my finger on it. Where we can now view things privately that we would have been embarrassed to view in the view publicly in the company of complete strangers. As a result, Americans have become, I'm going to tell you this, please listen, I'm going to say a couple things that are going to be a little shocking tonight, but we need to be shocked a little. Americans have become addicted because of this, because of videos and DVDs, Americans have become addicted to pornography. The average American has been so exposed to pornography, by the way, not just men, both men and women. The biggest market that's opening up right now is women. Even there, women did leave. Okay, Romans chapter 1. Women are getting more into pornography than men are. That's where it's heading. That the chances of them, watch this. The average American has been so exposed to pornography, both men and women, that the chances of them ever having and enjoying a normal marital relationship has all but been destroyed, barring a miracle of Almighty God in their life. Video games. Okay, here's the next step. So we had radio, where we just had the ears and the ears. And then we had movies where we just had the eyes. And then we had movies where we had the ear and eyes. And then we brought the TV in and built all of these relationships with all of these people and all of these Hollywood actors. And they all became heroes to us. And then we got videos and DVDs where Hollywood could now be brought in. But so far, now stay with me on this. So far, it's still just been the ears and the eyes. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, video games come on. At first, you know what? It's Atari, okay? It's shooting centipedes and little spaceships, and the graphics are ridiculous and would be laughable to these young people. And you know, so again, did it start very innocently? Was it the cool thing? Was it fun? Did most parents that allowed the kids to have it monitor it and say you can have this much time and use sense? Yeah, I mean, I think it started out where everybody was doing all those things. But you know what? There again, the prince and power of the air. But wait a minute. Now, all of a sudden, the sound, it's not just the ears and it's not just the eyes. All of a sudden now, we are introduced to not only using sight and sound to arouse our emotions and passions, but now we are allowed as viewers to become an active participant in the events that are being played out. Okay? We heard on the radio, on one of the graphic radio shows, early radio shows, we heard that the sounds and the sound effects, but it was only on our ears of somebody being murdered on one of these crime shows. And then we went and we saw it, but we didn't hear it. Then we went and saw it and we heard it. And then we started bringing it into our home and sitting and regularly seeing it and hearing it. Now we can take a controller in our hand and we can take part in it. We can act it. We can be the person doing it. If we push the right buttons, we can stop him. If we push different buttons, we can make him go forward. We can make him reach and choose different weapons. We can have him walk into homes and hold guns to children's heads and mothers' heads. We can have him run policemen off the road and walk right up to their cars with a gun and put the gun to their head and blow their brains out. So murder, all of a sudden, isn't something you heard or saw or heard and saw. It's something you get to do. Violence isn't no more something you're just hearing about, some rock singer sing a song about. Now you can commit it yourself. Watch this. Now I'm going to be careful because I understand who we have here. Immorality. Now, parents, please look up here and listen to me. Please, I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor has to stay up on some things, and I have ways of doing it where I protect myself. But I'm going to tell you right now. There are video games right now out there, and some of them are being handed around. And you parents have no idea what's on those video games. Okay? You name the ones that are the most popular. I promise you, somewhere on that video game is an opportunity for some young man to walk his person into a strip club. Yes, sir. And everything that goes on in a strip club is going on. Of walk his figure as he's committing mayhem into bedrooms. Now, I'm going to shock some of you right here. They get online and they play these interactive games, video games, and people, it's not just you, it's other people being the other people. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm going to be careful here, but I'm going to say something you need to hear. They can take their person and meet the other person. And if they both agree to do it, push certain buttons and do certain things that I can't even describe and watch it happen and be doing it. And I'm talking about perverted things. I'm talking about homosexual things. And I'm talking about beastie things. Now, but this game doesn't have that. Watch this. Most of the video games that your young people are playing, they can get to certain places on that video game where they can get online and they can add things onto that game that mom and dad don't even know they added onto that game. Okay? I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. We have a group of young people being brought up, and you young people, you didn't choose what time to be born. I mean, you could have been born in the 1950s, and you know what? Amos and Andy would have been it. But because of that, we have to watch guard harder. But I'm going to tell you something, young people. You are being put in a situation where you have to yourself make better decisions. You have to make better decisions. Because the things, you say, well, preacher, yeah, but you know what? That stuff doesn't bother me. It doesn't have effect on me. You're fooling yourself. I'm going to help you with that in just a second. Stay with me. Much of the above is accomplished with the eight, watch this, murder, violence, immorality, anger, wrath, revenge, immortality. You don't wonder why young people's got a God complex? Because you know what? They become immortal in these things. And it doesn't matter if somebody does kill them, they can push a button and they start over again. Much of the above is accomplished by the aid of magic, crystals, spells, sorcery, or superhuman powers mystically acquired. Murder, violence, immorality, anger, revenge, all of this is carried out without any real life consequences. Here's the sad part. Young men strut afterwards and boast of the battles they have won, the championships achieved, the lives taken, the cities destroyed, the powers wielded, worlds conquered, all while sitting on their couch, sipping Mountain Dew and pressing buttons. It's allowed a generation to play basketball without having one. It's allowed a generation to win the Super Bowl without ever doing a setup or a push-up. They can kill a 16-point buck without getting cold. They can be a soldier without going to basic training. They can make money without working. They can commit violence and murder yet spend no time in jail. They can fly airplanes without going to flight training. And they can woo women who exist only on a computer chip. Okay? Now, stay with me here, folks. Listen to me. You say, preacher, is the entertainment industry out of control? It's out of control. It's out of control. See the progression? First, they just went through the ears. And then they just went through the eyes. And then they said, what would happen to a human being if we put those two together? And they put it together. And then they played around with that. And it was all in black and white. And then they colorified it. And then they piped it into the house. And then they brought Hollywood into the house. And now they bring the video games in. And now all of a sudden you're not just seeing and hearing them. You are doing them. And does that have an effect on young people? It absolutely does. Absolutely does. Now, what if we overindulge in worldly entertainment? What does it do? If you overindulge in worldly entertainment, it first of all defiles your conscience. Stay with me. Defiles your conscience. John, I want to read something. It's just fascinating. I mean, I've got to hurry, so I'm going to read most of the verses and then, you know, get the tape or ask me for the notes and I'll hand them to you. John 8, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted himself up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Watch this. And they which heard it, who were the scribes and Pharisees? You answer this question. Lost people or saved people? Scribes and Pharisees, lost people or saved people? Jesus called them the children of the devil. So they're lost. Now listen. And they which heard it, scribes and Pharisees, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know what? People that aren't saved still have a conscience. And so what's the devil want to do? He wants to, here's the Bible phrase, defile their conscience. He wants to sear their conscience. He wants to make it so that they can do, say, watch anything and not be bothered by it. And overindulging in worldly entertainment defiles our conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, last days, are we there? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. How is it that people would have their conscience seared with a hot iron? You take a hot iron and you sear some part of your body, you kill the nerves in it, and you have no feeling there anymore. What could the devil use that would sear, destroy the conscience of both the lost and the saved? I think I've just described to you, I think he's figured it out, okay? Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them which are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And you know what, folks? We have become so defiled, let so much defilement come into our lives that it's caused us to become unbelieving to the point where nothing is pure. I mean, it's amazing what I've listened to Christians defend. Okay? I mean, you try to get them to feel bad or to say I was wrong or to have some sort sense of guilt about doing something that to the anybody that has just a marginal knowledge of the Bible would say, good night, God condemns that. That's evil, that's wicked. And they will stare at you like, how dare you suggest that there's anything wrong with this? Something is seared. Something's been destroyed. I mean, when you've got a culture of young people being raised up, and young people, I'm not putting you on the same boat because you're not all like this, and a lot of you aren't that way because thank God you're in a home where you've been protected from this junk. Okay? And you're not this. What I'm saying, when I say young people, I'm talking about the majority of the culture. I mean, man, it's they can do, say, watch, participate in almost anything. And you know what? They don't even feel guilty about it. Matter of fact, if you try to make them feel guilty, they go into defense mode and they want to attack the authority instead of looking at what they said or what they did and taking responsibility. Well, hey, young person, when's the last time you did something and you know you did it and you walked into my office or Brother Reiser's office, if you go to the school, and said, I need to apologize to you for what I did? When have you ever gotten under conviction enough to go in? When's the last time you said this? I'm wrong. I was wrong. Parents, would you please start letting them be wrong? I can't get them to be wrong if you're going to defend them and tell them they're not wrong. I mean, let them, listen, if they're wrong, don't stand up for them. Don't attack the authority. I mean, you know what? I can promise you this. In our, and I know it because I work closely with him. Brother Reiser, just like Pastor Jerry Ross, when I was a youth pastor here, sometimes I blew it as the leader. I have walked in to a group of young people and apologized. I have walked individually to young people and apologized. And by the way, so would Brother Reiser from time to time. I would like to know which teenager has ever apologized to him or Miss Alyssa about anything you've ever said or done towards them. And don't tell me you've never said or done anything towards them, because some of you have. What the problem is nobody's allowing these kids to be wrong. Okay, it's just easier to attack authority and turn authority into the bad guy all the time than it is to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, that was wrong. I had no business saying that. I had no business doing that. I owe somebody an apology. But our conscience, I'm telling you what the problem is. We've overindulged in worldly entertainment to the point where it's defiled our conscience. We can't even feel bad about anything anymore. Watch this. Overindulging in worldly entertainment desensitizes our emotions. It's literally turned this culture and the vast majority of these young people in this culture into walking zombies. They do not have what I'm going to read this. You say desensitizes emotions? Yeah. This I say, Ephesians 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, the pride of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Are you listening? This is America. Having their understanding darkened, you try to explain something to them. Well, I don't understand. Well, I just don't understand. Why? Because your understanding's been darkened. The light's been turned out. Okay? Being alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. That would terrify me if I read that and thought that might be true of me. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Watch this. Here's the next phrase that's so scary. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Who, being past feeling? You know what that's talking about? It's talking about being desensitized, desensitizing our emotions. Most kids, when they watch stuff, I mean, they're playing a video game and they're chopping people's heads off and watching blood spurt everywhere and they're blowing people apart. And look at, this is their expression when they're doing it. I mean, you know what? I go to youth camps, and brother, I mean, I say, okay, here we go, Wednesday night or Tuesday night, I'm preaching on hell, and brother, I'll use everything and every illustration, and I'll try to make hell exceedingly terrifying, and you know what? They just sit there and look at you. Man, I mean, in the 1970s, you preach on hell, everybody in church would be quaking. They'd be holding on to the pew. I mean, they'd be either scared that they're going there or scared that their family member's going there. I mean, you try to terrify any Christian now. Try to make them blush. Try to scare them. By the way, try to make them happy. I mean, as long as you give them something that pleases their flesh, then you probably get a chuckle or a smile. But I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I wish I could have had, you know, we always wish we had a videotape of Pastor Ross preaching in the 1970s. Wouldn't that have been cool? I want a videotape of the audience in the 1970s while he's preaching. Folks, listen, I've threatened to do this in my heart. And parents, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you sometimes understand why I lose it up here a little bit. And I get on. If I put a hidden camera up here and I put it on your kid's face during an entire message and you went home and listened to everything that I said and watched their facial expressions while I said it, you'd understand how compassionate I am. You'd wonder, some of you men, why I don't go down and get a hold of some kids. Yes, don't you ever get upset at me for every once in a while just saying, that's enough. Yes. I'm not putting up with you smirking and laughing and rolling your eyes and poking each other and playing the fool and the scorner while the preaching of the Word of God is going on. But I'm going to tell you something. Give it your best shot. I mean, but let's bring Marino in, man. He's a youth speaker extraordinaire. Buddy, unload with both barrels, Brother Likens. You know what you get in this generation? Just, I'm not saying nobody's moved. Let me tell you the young people that are moved the most, the ones that have been the most protected from worldly entertainment. Let me tell you the ones you can't hardly budge. You can't blow them off. You can't blow them off with a stick of dynamite. You can't blow them off the pew with a stick of dynamite. The kids that have been so desensitized by watching all this junk and filth and garbage that the lights have been turned off. They're alienated from the life of God. I mean, you just wonder, is there a pulse? Is there anything going on there? Okay? Overindulging in worldly entertainment desensitizes our emotions. And listen, I'm preaching to young people, but hey, y'all, a lot of you adults are right there too. I can't move you. I can't budge you. I can't get you to do anything. I can't get you to feel anything. And you know why? Because you put in, on a weekly average, 20, 30 hours in front of the boob tube. And brother, 3 hours of preaching ain't going to undo that. Number three, overindulging in worldly entertainment lowers our moral inhibitions. Bible says flee fornication. Don't sit down and watch it for entertainment. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And he's right. This is the church of Corinth that were, you know what? They lost their moral inhibitions when it comes to moral. They weren't shocked by moral sins. They were allowing it in their presence. And he says this in verse 19, what? With a question mark. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which is, so all of a sudden, listen, why are young people so easily slipping into immorality today? Why do they think it's not a big deal? Why do they think everybody's doing it? Because you know what? Not only are they hearing about it, not only they're watching it, not only are they hearing about it and watching it at the same time, but now they're actively involved in it in a virtual reality. And you know what? It's a pretty short step from a virtual reality to a reality. Overindulging in worldly entertainment narrows the gap between thinking and doing. Okay? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every fault to the thought to the obedience of Christ. Why is that important? Because all sin begins up here. And you know what? The more that we do it here and the more we interact with it, and the more it becomes real here, it becomes a shorter step between thinking and doing. Overindulging in worldly entertainment creates physical, mental, and emotional addictions. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, you begin to let worldly entertainment become important to you to the point where you're ready to fight and defend it and be mad at anybody that mentions it. What you've created is a satanic spiritual stronghold in your life. And you know what? Once you've built that stronghold, it's hard to break it down. Let me just ask you a question. You answer it in your own heart. What is the subject when it comes to worldly entertainment? What's the subject that when I mention, buddy, I'm hitting up against a stronghold in your life? I mean, you're going to answer that. What is it that I get on? Come on, what kind of music? What kind of movies? What kind? I mean, video games. Some of you, you know, that's your God. And I get on, and I mean, you're fuming. You're just sitting out there just, I mean, how dare you? You've allowed Satan to build a spiritual stronghold. I mean, there are some in your mind, there are strongholds that you've built walls around this thing, and you protect it, and no matter who tries to break those strongholds down, you're resistant to what is that in your life? What is that in your life? Overindulging in worldly entertainment overindulging in worldly entertainment recreates the imaginary into a false or virtual reality. That which is real becomes imaginary, and that which is imaginary becomes real. That's why it says to cast down imaginations. Well, I'm going to, and listen, I want you to know this. I'm going to mention Facebook from time to time. I don't like it. I know people have it here. I'm not trying to live your life. Some of you could honestly come to my office, say, preacher, you can have free access to my Facebook page and free access to my private messages, and you could look at everything over the whole year, and I've done nothing that shame God. I understand there probably is that one person. Maybe. I never gossip on it. I never talk about somebody else. I don't stalk other people just so I can find out about their lives. I'm just on there. It's me and Jesus. That's what we do. Amen. That's where I have my devotions. I mean, there's probably that person. I get it, okay? But let me tell you something. Somebody opens a Facebook page, and then, wait a minute, this is your page. So now you're going to create on that page a virtual reality of who you are. You're going to do it by the background you design. You're going to do it by the font you use, and you're going to put pictures, and you're going to do this. So when people come to your page, this represents who I am and what I am. The only problem is it's not a true representation, is it? Is it? Everybody wants to pull this, create this beautiful, perfect-looking facade. While behind the perfect-looking little facade, that's not what real life is. But I want everyone to think that this is what I am. Look, I'm happy, but they're not happy. Look, I'm spiritual. If you're spiritual, you don't have to create a Facebook page to convince people of it. They'll pretty much pick up on it without Facebook. I'm just saying, be careful. You know what they're doing? They're creating a virtual reality. Listen, instead of putting all that time and energy into creating a virtual facade, why don't you put the same energy into working on true character and true virtue. Instead of creating the projection of it, why don't you actually work at instilling it? What I just said is so valuable. But everybody's busy doing virtual things. Chat rooms, you can create a virtual persona. You get on there and use a different name, and you can be a different person, and you can say things about you that's not true, and talk about how you have climbed mountains and flown airplanes, and you've scuba dived up in the North Pole, and video games, you live in a virtual world. Now watch this, folks, let me help you. Let me remind you, while you are lost in your fantasy world of virtual reality, there's things that are still real. God is still real, and he didn't need a Facebook page. The devil's still real. See, you're lost in a fantasy world of virtual reality, but the devil's real. Hell's real. Heaven's real. Sin and its consequences are real. There's real people that have real problems. By the way, the leaky faucet, sir, is still real. That you can't get to because you won't turn off and find the off switch. The garden, you can get everything else to work on your computer, but the garden doesn't plant itself. There's no app for that for your iPhone. You actually have to get a tiller out and go out there and tear it up. Your flower beds don't, there's no app to get you to weed your own flower beds. That didn't happen. Okay? By the way, your real car that needs a real wash job, there's no app for it. Okay? This is a terrible kind of weather to preach against that. That's fine. Watch this. While you're living in your virtual reality, you have a real wife who needs real attention. You have real kids who need real parents. And you know what? Don't get on your husband playing video games when you're spending an equal amount of time roaming around on Facebook. It's amazing how many one of them wants to come in and gripe about the other one, and you're both doing it just because your choice of virtual reality is different than his. Why don't you both just agree to turn the stupid thing off for a while? I mean, people's lives are recreated in cyberspace, and most of the time they live there in a virtual reality that is not a reality. And guess what? The world's dying and going to hell. And you can't get people to go soul winning. And nobody's available to work in the bus ministry. And if I had another nursing home, I couldn't find a family to take it. And I can't get a bus driver. And I can't get this. And Sunday school teachers aren't taking their class series. Not all of them, but some of them. We're just living in this fantasy world. Fantasy. Okay? Overindulging in worldly entertainment robs us of time for reading and studying and learning and conversing and interacting and serving and socializing and working and praying and walking with God and witnessing to lost people. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, watch this, and I'm done. All right? Not like Sunday night done. I'm really done, okay? Watch this. I'm not telling you to get rid of anything. I'm not telling you where to draw the lines. Come on, you got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you? You got a prayer closet somewhere? I'm not saying that even some of the things I mentioned could be done properly and moderate. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying this. We need to check it out. Is that fair? I'm not making any calls for you. I don't need to make any calls for you. Shouldn't have to. You got God. I'm saying this. All of us would be well served to get along with him and say, listen, what have I sacrificed in 2013 that I need to dispose of and get out of my life going into 2014? Is it something I just need to rein in, or is it something I need to eliminate? Is it something I need to better control? Or watch this. Am I honest enough to say, I can't control this? Maybe somebody else can, and God bless them, and I'm not mad at them, and I'm not going to be a Pharisee about it. But for me, I can't do this. I'm better off without the temptation. So there it goes. Really seek out the Lord in this important area. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless, Lord, taking a little bit of time over. Lord, I ask, dear God, that you'd take these thoughts, and we hurried through and passed, and some scripture didn't get read, and but Lord, I feel like this is what you wanted said and done, and so we're done. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord. How can we How can we reach a world that the prince of the power of the air is in such complete control of? I mean, barring a miracle of God, it's hard to break through the strongholds. It's hard to break through the strongholds of lost people in order to truly get them to see the light of the glorious gospel. It's hard to break through strongholds in Christians' lives to get them to advance past a very infant level of Christian living. I pray, dear God, that we would be honest. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us in our lives to double check to make sure that these things have not grown to addiction level in our life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, to listen to your spirit, please. We pray these things in Jesus' name.